Welcome to When's KMU, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 136. So, in the news, straight away, you guys no doubt heard about the guy who tried to set fire to the couch in Boston, Massachusetts at the Grand Lodge of all places. If you didn't hear about it, it was on St. Patrick's Day and in Boston. Now, this guy came in and was spraying lighter fluid all over everything in sight. And then he tried to get his lighter to work. He was flicking it, and when he eventually got tackled to the ground and taken into custody, and he will be getting charged. So stay tuned. I'd love to see what happens with this. So that was crazy. In other things, if you guys will be in the Nashville area, of course I mean Nashville, Tennessee, feel free to stop by Doric Lodge number 732 on Monday the 24th. There will be an open event. That means public, profane, brothers, fellows, guys interested, people who are interested, men, women, etc., all invited out to listen to the presentation. I'll be there delivering a keynote about colonial masonry in America. As I've mentioned on the website, you can check the schedule of events at wcypodcast.com, presentation schedule. And it's very much about Freemasonry in America, where it started, and in the earliest lodges that used to be taverns. So many thanks to the Worshipful Master and the Brethren of Doric Lodge number 732 for the invite and allowing me to come out there and share this presentation and share in the fellowship. It's also going to be Grand Lodge week down there, so it should be a pretty amazing week. I can't tell you how excited I am to head on down. I'll be accompanied by Brother Brian Shimian, who is one of the fellow writers for the Midnight Freemasons website, and I know he is thrilled as well. So again, if you're listening to this on Sunday night, you have less than 24 hours to come out to Tennessee. But hopefully you've all seen the events on Facebook as well. And Brother Brian and I hope to see you all there. Without any further delay, let's get right into this week's pieces. This week I have a bunch of short pieces which are from several correspondences that I've been collecting. I had enough of them, so I figured it was time to share them. I am, of course, reading from actual paper on these, so you may hear a page turn here or there, a little bit of paper rustling. So let's get right to it. The first is from Embassy Notes, dated October of 2013. And this piece was kind of interesting. It's about Clara Barton, who was influenced by her Masonic father. Clara Barton, known as the quote-unquote angel of the battlefield during the Civil War, was a nurse, teacher, and humanitarian, and today is honored as the founder of the American Red Cross. Much of the inspiration for her life of service came from her father, Captain Stephen Barton, a master mason who impressed her with the tenets of Freemasonry. Captain Barton, a native of Oxford, Massachusetts, enlisted at age 19 to fight in the Indian Wars in the West under General Anthony Wayne. After his return to Oxford, he married and later moved to the farm where Clara was born. He was chosen as captain of the militia and served as moderator of town meetings, selectman, and a member of the legislature. 2 months after his marriage, he became a Mason in Olive Branch Lodge. Brother Barton combined a military spirit, gentle disposition, and a spirit of philanthropy, characteristics inherited by his daughter. After his death, Clara said, quote, "As the daughter of an accepted Mason, he bade me seek and comfort the afflicted everywhere," end quote. Before his death, he presented his daughter a gold Masonic emblem to wear in his memory for luck and protection. Clara Barton wore that emblem throughout the Civil War. Later in life, Clara became a member of the Order of Eastern Star and was initiated by Rob Morris, the founder of the order. Just after her Eastern Star initiation, she said, quote, "My father was a Mason. To him, it was a religion. And for the love and honor I bear him, I am glad to be connected with anything like this," end quote. Source, Royal Arch Mason Magazine, summer of 2013, from an article by George L. Marshall, Jr. So that was pretty interesting. The next piece I have is called, it's very short, it's like four paragraphs, but it's called The Four Cardinal Virtues. When you hear the lectures about the four cardinal virtues in the Entered Apprentice degree, they sometimes may appear as an afterthought and are clearly not integral to the rest of the degree. In fact, they do not appear in any ritual of the craft prior to 1750. Coyle's Masonic Encyclopedia states, quote, "It is probable that this peculiar part of the lectures goes back beyond the dawn of symbolic masonry, and that what we have is a distorted remnant of a much more meaningful symbolism, or has been built up in modern times out of a brief and unimportant part of the old pre-Grand Lodge working," end quote. Coyle further suggests that The cardinal virtues were, quote, taken from the Christian church, which derived them from Plato, and to which the church had added the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, which Freemasonry has also borrowed, end quote. But what an excellent addition to our initiation. While not integral to the rest of the degree, they most certainly should be an integral part of every Mason's character. The four cardinal virtues are intertwined and inseparable. After all, what is temperance without prudence, fortitude without justice, or justice without prudence? Source, Connecticut Freemasons, June 2013, column by Grand Chaplain Bruce R. Belmore. This next piece is actually from the September 2013 Embassy Notes, and the title is called Only One Person Signed Four Major U.S. Documents. The history of the United States tells us that only one person signed our nation's four major early documents, the Articles of Association in 1774, the Declaration of Independence in 1776, the Articles of Confederation in 1777, and the U.S. Constitution in 1787. That person was Roger Sherman of Connecticut. Was he a Mason? His Masonic apron is on display in the museum at Yale University, a gift from his descendants, and his two sons were Masons. However, there is no other historic record of his membership in a lodge. All records seem to have been lost. Brother Sherman was born in 1721 in Newton, Massachusetts, admitted to the bar in 1754, served in the Connecticut Assembly in 1755 through 1766, and in the State of Senate, 1766 to 1785, elected as congressman from Connecticut in the first Congress in 1789, and was a U.S. Senator from 1791 until his death in 1793. He was chosen as a delegate to the Continental Congress. He was on the committee to draft the Declaration of Independence with brothers Benjamin Franklin and Robert R. Livingston, and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, and he's actually pictured with the others in a famous painting that hangs in the Capitol Rotunda. Brother Sherman helped draft the Articles of Confederation, made 138 speeches during the Constitutional Convention, helped draft the New Jersey Plan and the Connecticut Compromise, and authored a major section of the Constitution. Patrick Henry described him as one of the three greatest men at the Constitutional Convention. The source, W. Martin Myers, District Education Officer, Grand Lodge of Virginia, and member of the Virginia Lodge of Research. From this same Embassy Notes, we have another piece called Masonic Works Compared to the Space Program. Historically, the innovations and new procedures developed by our operative Masonic ancestors may be compared to the new processes created by the U.S. Space Program. According to Andrew Drew Elson of Kerrville, Texas, quote, through the centuries, our craft evolved into a science, just as today's space program created new inventions like Velcro and Teflon. The increasing complexities of the work our ancient brethren were engaged in was only made possible by their development of mathematics and geometry. End quote. He explained that as builders, they established rules of order and chains of command, made suitable plans, and carried them out exactly. That gift cannot be overstated. The architect began to design, and the plans which he laid down, improved through time and experience, have produced works which are the admiration of every age. Brother Elson has been active in Masonic education, writing in public relation activities, both in his original Masonic home in Florida and now in his adopted Texas. In the 21st century, with modern technology, he said, quote, the special role of the Masons as a society of builders and buildings has shifted into the fraternity of builders of men and is as relevant and important today in today's society as it was in theirs. And the last piece that I have for you is actually from the Masonic Information Center from a Focus, Volume 20, Issue 3, September 2013. And on the back of the newsletter is a correspondence called George Washington Masonic Statue in the National Cathedral. So a lot of people have been to the George Washington Masonic Memorial, but this is a little bit different. This is the cathedral. One of the most prominent public tributes to Freemasonry in the United States is the George Washington statue in the Washington, D.C. National Cathedral, visited by more than 600,000 church attenders and tourists annually. In splendid isolation in a bay in the southwest corner of the cathedral is a 7-foot, 6-inch statue of Washington, carved of pure white Vermont marble. Inscribed on the statue's octagonal pedestal are reminders of Washington's contributions, first citizen, churchman, president, statesman, farmer, soldier, patriot, Freemason. The statue was a gift in 1947 from the Supreme Council, Scottish Rite's Southern Jurisdiction, which declared, quote, "It was fitting, and indeed it was necessary that here in this hallowed place, which is set upon a hill within the city that bears his name, there should be raised a monument to the father of this country. For while the whole American land is his monument, it is an inspiring duty to make visible his presence," end quote. All right, so I hope you guys like those. And before we get into the next segment, I'd like to remind everyone that if you would like to support this show, check out our website, wcypodcast.com, and click the Support the Show tab at the top. When you do that, you'll see several ways to help us keep this program running, such as downloading the show apps, which give you streaming access to the show anywhere that you are. It lets you make favorites, download hard copies of those episodes, gives you access to the papers that we read via PDF, which you can download right there in the app. Another way is through our affiliates. We have two of them, the first being Onnit Labs, who makes the most amazing health supplements and human optimization products. They're the folks that bring you Alpha Brain, which is something that I use all the time, actually. It keeps me super focused, so if you want some Alpha Brain or anything else that they sell, please click through those links and buy some. And then at the checkout, if you want 10% off your order, I can't imagine why you wouldn't, then just use the promo code WCY, and it'll give you 10% off. The other affiliate we have is through FreemasonryArt.com, classy stuff, which is, of course, the best place to go for Masonic art and aprons, real lambskin apron, guys, the coolest anywhere. I even got one for a good friend of mine, Brother Rob Lewis, from the Far From Centered podcast. So check them out. No special links. Just head on over to FreemasonryArt.com, buy some great stuff, and you can use that promo code WCY at the checkout. Again, 10% off. Of course, the most popular way to help us out is through a direct donation with PayPal. And of course, thanks to another recurrent donator, Brother Queensberry, I can't thank you enough, brother. The way it works is that you click donate and you pick the amount. All the money goes right back into this show to bring you content and quality. Also, to always make a previous episode available forever. So that's kind of one of the bigger areas where that money goes into. I never take down an old episode. They're always all available. Episode 1 all the way to 136, which is this episode. So thanks in advance for everything, guys. It really does help me out, and it means the world. Next is this week's famous Freemason, Brother Alfred Marx. Born Ruchel Kuczynski on the 28th of January 1921 in Holborn, London, England, and he passed away on the 1st of July 1996 at age 75 in Hillingdon, London, England. He was a British actor and comedian. He was married to Patty O'Neill. He was also a comedian known for his charismatic personality and sarcastic delivery. Marx was born, as I stated, Ruchel Kuczynski in Holborn, London, and he left Bell Lane School at 14 and started in entertainment at the Windmill Theatre. He then served in the Royal Air Force as a flight sergeant in the Middle East, where he arranged concerts for servicemen. He also worked as an auctioneer and engineer. He started in Variety at the Kilburn Empire in 1946, and his stage appearances included The Sunshine Boys and Fiddler on the Roof. He was also involved in comedy work with Peter Sellers and Harry Seacombe, which later led to the formation, along with writer Spike Milligan, of The Goon Show, though Marx himself was not to become a member of that comedy group. Should be noted also that Peter Sellers was also a brother. His films included Frightened City and Scream Again. His television show Alfred Marx Time ran for 6 years on ITV. He compared Sunday Night at London Palladium and appeared in numerous other television programs, including the third episode of Dr. Finlay's Castle Book in 1962, Albert and Victoria, The Good Old Days, Blankety Blank, The Marty Caine Show, The Two Ronies, The Generation Game, Lovejoy, Minder, which was a TV series, Parkinson, the all-new Alexei Sayle Show, and the Dramarama play, The Commupants of Captain Cat, which was a satire on the current state of Doctor Who. In 1967, Marx toured Australia for J.C. Williamson Theatres in Bill Naughton's Spring and Port Wine. In 1968, he played the lead in The Young Visitors, a musical version of the turn-of-the-20th-century Daisy Ashford novel written when she was 6 and published as Submitted by Her, Daisy Ashford Novel, at the Vaudeville Theatre in London. He was the subject of This Is Your Life in December of 1971 when he was surprised by Irmán Andrews at London's Garrick Theatre. Marx also appeared in the role of Wilfred Chabot in the Gilbert and Sullivan opera, The Yeoman of the Guard, in 1982. While on tour in Australia, Marx was appointed the second king of Moomba, 1968, by the Melbourne Moomba Festival Committee. When asked what his qualifications were, he quipped, in full Cockney, "When I was 11, there were rival gangs around a fruit market in the East End, and desperately, I always wanted to be a member of the bigger rival gang. One day, when I was in my best Easter suit, someone from one of the other gangs said to me, 'Would you like to be king of the golden apples?' 'All right, just sit there in this box and call out, apples, apples, give me the golden apples,' which, innocently, I did, and they cobbled me with every rotten apple in the market." In his personal life, Marx married actress Patty O'Neill in 1952. They remained together until his death. Their son, actor Gareth Marx, is probably best known for his role as Jean-Daniel Marcel in the BBC's Bugs and as Simon in Marketing in Bridget Jones' Diary. O'Neill died in 2010. He also had a daughter, Daniel Marx. That's it for this week. Please check us out on Facebook and follow on Twitter at Whence Came You. Please don't forget to check out the Winding Stairs podcast with Brother Juan Sepulveda and also the Centered Mass and Far From Centered podcasts with Brother Rob Lewis. And check out another show called the Masonic Roundtable with myself, Juan Sepulveda, Nick Johnson from the Millennial Freemason, and of course the host John Ruark and Jason Richards, who are literally too smart for their own good. I think I have to really bring it next week. Jason Richards is leaving me in the dust in regards to bow ties. So speaking of neckwear, check out Brother John Paul Gomez for the best neckwear in the entire galaxy, PB&J Water for the cleanest water you can get, product research gear, and all the rest of the amazing Masonic businesses that we have links to. Remember, Doric Lodge number 732 on the 24th of this month, which is tomorrow. I hope to see you all there. I'm still working on the audiobook for Freemasonry in Black and White, so once that is all recorded, I'll start mastering it, and then it will be available on audible.com, so keep your eyes peeled. Check out the Midnight Freemasons 3 times a week for original content found nowhere else, and if you really like it, then please check out the Working Tools magazine, where we have a featured section each month, and for more information, check out www.midnightfreemason.blogspot.com and www.twt.com. Remember, you can find this show on Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, WordPress, Tumblr. We're on the RIM Network for BlackBerry, iTunes, MySpace. Even some Lodge websites have a little web player. So if you are the website administrator for your Lodge or group and you want a little web player of this show to embed on the site that will always play the latest episode and any other episode for that matter, then shoot me an email and I can send you the HTML code. Also, I should mention the email address, which is simply wcypodcast@gmail.com, which is also the handle for this show on Google+. Anyway, have a great weekend, guys. Thanks for helping us break 1,000 followers on Twitter and keep the numbers soaring on Facebook. I'll see you all in Nashville, Tennessee. Take care, everybody. I'll talk to you all next week. Stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.